You are now entering the world of Blissful Living broadcasting around the globe and on the Blissful Living Network with Rochelle Marie Lawson. Are you lacking energy, clarity, and that sense of true well-being? Are you overworked, underpaid, and know that you deserve more in life? You are not alone. Improve your wellness, wisdom, and wealth so that you can step into living the life of your dreams. And now, here's your host of Blissful Living, the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blissful Living. This is the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson, and I am excited about our show today. We have all been experiencing some challenging times, and our guest today is just going to help us to just take a few moments to forget about the challenge that's facing the world and to just sit back and relax and spend a little time nurturing ourselves. So I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Jeannie Hughes, who's our guest today, in just a few moments. But first of all, I want to thank the sponsors of the show, the Health, Healing, and Wellness Company, as well as Blissful Living for You, and All Day Cable Incorporated, which is a telecommunications installation company located in Silicon Valley. And you can check them out if you have any telecommunications installation needs at alldaycableinc.com. And so I'm going to say you might want to grab a piece of paper, something to write with, and relax in your favorite chair, because you're going to want to take notes and you're going to want to pay attention to what the guest has to share with us today. So let me just get started. So we have this fabulous gal on our show by the name of Jeannie Hughes, and she's a renowned Utah raw food chef and nutritional living coach and an international best-selling author. She presents a new way of eating, and if you're like me and you've been stuck in the house, eating has become a little bit more tempting, especially diving into things that probably are not really that good for our bodies. But Jeannie has spent years becoming a highly successful consumer of chocolate, chips, and other delicious processed foods before becoming a highly developed sugar addict who was finally diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. For years, Jeannie lived in chronic pain, and after numerous tests and doctor visits, Jeannie decided not to be sick and in pain anymore, and she knew she had to take control of her body and spent 7 years learning how to eat correctly. Now, at the crossroads of teaching mindful, healthy, conscious men and women how to avoid the disease-riddled healthcare crisis our population is now facing, she teaches us 7 essential raw food eating habits and the culinary arts that make this process satisfying and delicious. Now, I could go on and on and on about the wonderful information Jeannie's going to share with us, but I'm excited to learn more about eating raw food and basically having them just be tempting, tantalizing, and of course very good for our bodies. So without any delay, Jeannie, welcome to Blissful Living.
Thank you so much, Rochelle. It is truly an honor to be on the Blissful Life podcast. I am so honored to be with you. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. So I have one thing I just want to request. If you could just maybe speak a little louder or maybe a little closer into your communication device.
No worries.
That's perfect.
All right.
So now I want to jump in because rheumatoid arthritis is very near and dear to me, and my mother has had that for quite a long time. She was completely disabled with it at the age of 39, and in conjunction with that, she has lupus as well. And so I served on the Northern California Lupus Foundation for about 5 or 6 years, just learning about the twin diseases because they kind of go hand in hand. And, of course, I've also had my own journey with regards to challenges, and I am, too, a sugar addict that has kicked the habit, but definitely can relate to that. So I'm super excited to meet another sugar addict that's also changed her diet and got her health together. And so I want to ask you, just point blank, what made you decide to change the way you eat when it came to making yourself feel better?
Oh, my gosh, Rochelle. Okay. All right. So straight up, I will never forget that day. It was a day. It was a moment. I will never forget it. I had left my rheumatologist's office. I had picked up my children after school and was driving home, parked in a line of traffic, two children behind me in the back seat, and I'm sitting there waiting for my turn to go. When from the back seat yells one of my young sons, who was only, I think, 6 at the time, and he yells, "Mommy, we're moving." Instantly, both feet slammed on the brakes, two arms wrapped around the steering wheel. I'm hugging the steering wheel. As my head is against the steering wheel, my eyes gaze into my passenger seat. And sitting there is a half-eaten package of Pillsbury chocolate chip cookie dough and an empty package of potato chips.
Oh, my God.
But what happened to me in that moment was a little more ephemeral, a little more spiritual, if you will. I had heard many times my rheumatologist tell me, "Jeannie, I can't cure your rheumatoid arthritis. There is no cure for this." But for the first time, I heard it in my mind's eye there. I heard her say, "Jeannie, I can't cure your rheumatoid arthritis." And as I'm staring at that junk food in the passenger seat of my car, it dawns on me that I am continually feeding the disease and I am not feeding my body. And in an instant, I knew I had to change the way I eat.
Wow. Wow. I can relate to that. I mean, it's an epiphany. You know, sometimes you go to the doctor and you expect to have a little bit of hope with regards to whatever medical challenge that you may be facing. But when they say that basically you're stuck with this, that's something a lot of people want to hear. So to have the epiphany about the connection with it to your food and looking at how you just binged out basically, and you probably weren't even PMSing, but just something you did, right, that you decided to make the change was amazing. So now, with regards to changing your diet or the way you eat your intake, what was the first thing you thought that, other than, you know, getting rid of the salt and the sugar, what was the first thing you thought as far as a process or a way to eat that you thought might help you to feel better?
Okay, but I need to be completely honest with you. I was a professional at the time. And my priorities were not self-care. You have to understand, my priorities were taking care of my clients, making it to court on time, getting prepared, making sure I hit my financial quota so I could pay everybody in the office. My priorities were never my personal health. I just assumed my health would always be there. I lived my life as if it were a given. And so when I ate, my routines didn't really come from planning, and they didn't come from thought. My routines simply evolved out of instinct, if you will. Suddenly I'm hungry, look around, what looks good, grab that, satiate the habit, or satiate my appetites, and then move on to the next task at hand. So the way I was living had nothing to do with supporting my health. I did great in a lot of other areas of life, but that was never a priority. So when I realized, it was truly an epiphany. When I realized, "Jeannie, you got to take care of yourself," it was a whole new thing for me. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to start. I was really sick, and I knew I was, but my first instincts was to hide it, okay? Wear clothes that didn't, you know, disclose how sick I was. So stopped wearing high heels and only wore flat shoes because my ankles were too worn out. And I did all kinds of things to just sort of hide the fact that my body was wearing out. I'd been told by my rheumatologist that within 2 years I would be wheelchair bound and that I wouldn't survive to see my children graduate high school. So I didn't have a place. I didn't have a plan. I was like a deer in the headlights and just going, "Oh, my gosh, what am I going to do?"
Right.
But you know how that feels? I mean, you know what I'm talking about? When you're
Yeah, I do. I totally do. And I think you put some I would say you shared some nuggets of gold in there, which I think I need to reiterate to our listenership. And this goes for men and women. How many of you out there can relate to Jeannie's story where she's a professional, she's all about career and, you know, making it happen and making the money because people were dependent upon her and things of that nature, and never really thought about her health and well-being or the connection to basically, you know, her feeling good and being successful at the same time, or what she was taking in eating. She's just doing what all professionals generally do. And the other thing she mentioned was that she really didn't look at her health that way, because her focus was basically distracted, and there was really no connection with what she was eating as regards to her being that kick butt professional type of gal. So how many of you out there can relate to this? Because I know a ton of people like this. I know people that will spend thousands and thousands of dollars on that next quick get-rich marketing thing that's going to blast their business, but yet they're sick. And they won't spend a dime on their health and well-being, or even change something like maybe not drink that 2 liter of soda every day. How many of you can relate to what Jeannie just said? Because she shared some nuggets of gold. So now, Jeannie, I want to move into, how did you finally begin collecting the data with regards to eating, and then learn what was right to incorporate into your eating habits that was not only satisfying, but that was good, nutritious, and something that you would want to eat?
Fair enough. I see where you're going with this. Okay, so here's where I started. Once I realized that I had a serious problem, and look, my doctors were wonderful people. They were wonderful people. They entered the medical profession with a deep desire to help their patients. They studied hard. They practiced hard. They gave me their very best advice. But here's what no medical professional can compete with. They cannot compete with 3 meals a day plus snacks, whatever's on the end of your fork, all day, every day. They cannot compete with our negative habits that are creating the problem, okay? What doctors try to do is they come in after the fact and try to help make some of your symptoms go away. They try to help cure you the best they can, but they can't compete with our daily causing it. And that's where I was. And once I learned that, I took stock in where I was. Okay, so here's where I was. I couldn't eat very much at all. Okay, I was eating a few bites here and a few bites there and sort of grazing throughout the day. But to be able to sit down and eat a full meal, I was no longer good at that. My stomach had become a lot smaller because I hadn't eaten much. And,
right.
And so you know what I'm saying? And so what I did is I did the research. I started doing the research, and I came up with a plan to start. Now, the first thing I did is I found something on the internet that was based in Germany. It was Dr. Joanna Budwig. And Dr. Joanna Budwig is a scientist. She's passed on now, but she's a scientist who came up with a recipe. She's a 7-time Nobel laureate. And what that means is 7 times this recipe was nominated for a Nobel Prize, and 7 times she did not win. Now, had
wow.
she been a man, probably, and had she come up with a pill or a procedure, there's no question she would have gotten this award at least one of those 7 times. But for a woman to craft a recipe that has so many health benefits and cures diseases, including arthritis, cancer, and a variety of other things, it was just unthinkable. So she goes down in history of having written something called FOCC, that stands for flax oil cottage cheese. Now, today I don't eat dairy products personally. I eat a lot of raw fruits and vegetables, put out in 7 different habits. But back then I had to start somewhere.
Right.
And it's really important that we start wherever we are and don't start with where we should be or where we'd like to be or where we're told we better get to. We have to
Hold up, Jeannie. You got to say that one more time because I want people to listen. Say it again, Jeannie.
We have to start where we are. And it's okay. Wherever we are is fine, but we can't start where we think we should be. It's important to start right where we are. And I had to do that. I had to admit that, you know, what everybody else calls a meal for breakfast took me all day long to eat. You know, I just couldn't get there from here. So I started with the flax oil and cottage cheese recipe that Dr. Budwig crafted. And I used that for the first 12 weeks until I actually felt no pain. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm on to something. This is working. And eventually that recipe gave way. And I kind of started eating it less often. And eventually I would pull something out of the fruit bowl. And then I realized, hey, this is working. Eventually I got there. Okay, I figured this out. But once I did that, what became, there was problems along the way. And so you asked me about how I came up with the data. It took a while to get there, but the way I did it was I had 144 very generous people that I put into 12 different focus groups. And these focus groups were willing to practice these different habits for a specific period of time and then come back and report their success and their failures. And they were willing to be interviewed, and they were willing to talk about what they did right and did wrong. And it was amazing because, you know, after the first habit we created, which we thought, okay, we needed more greens in our diet, so we started with smoothies. And then we got ahead of ourselves a little bit, and we thought, okay, we're done, right? We have smoothies. No, we're not done. 144 people came back and said, well, that was great, but, you know, I still want to go to dinner, and I want to have these junk foods, and we had pie, and then go on. Okay, so that's not enough, right?
Right.
And then so, you know, with 144 people backing me up, helping me learn this stuff, I was able to take the notes, collect the data, and ferret out, if you will, these 7 essential raw food eating habits in the Faithful Palate Diet. I got to tell you, I'm just shocked and dismayed that this book has been a bestseller. It was never my plan.
Well, let me ask you this. So along with the research you were conducting with, you know, the 144 people, is that what you said?
Uh-huh.
Along with the research that you were conducting with them, were you actually a participant as well, or were you, you know, basically conducting the research and being external of it, but allowing the participants to basically give you all their different experiences with regards to what they were experiencing during the research?
You know, the fair answer to your question is yes and no. So I had come most of the way. My symptoms had all gone away, but for a while there, I still had blood markers in my blood tests. So when you have an autoimmune disorder, that can be detected oftentimes through blood work, and my blood work still showed some of that. I wasn't experiencing any more symptoms at that time, but I still had the problems in my blood.
The markers, right.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so I went through, for that first period of a little bit of time, I went through as one of the participants as well. But to tell you the truth, I wasn't one of the 144. Those were 144 people that were not me.
Okay.
And then eventually, my blood markers disappeared, and I have no symptoms at all of any of those conditions that I was diagnosed with, including the autoimmune disorder of rheumatoid arthritis.
Wow. You know, again, some amazing information and nuggets of gold she shared there. And I want you all to, I hope you're taking notes and really listening to what she's saying with regard to, she took baby steps with herself. She was gentle with herself with regard to doing something and then checking in with her body to see how things were feeling, how her mind was operating, things of that nature. She went beyond a little step further and incorporated others to assist her with gathering the necessary information and research that will be valuable to not only her, but to others that can utilize this information with regards to their health and well-being as well. So not only did she do it herself, per se, she had others do it and was able to tabulate a ton of information, which leads us to what she's sharing with us today. Now, she says she started with smoothies, and everyone loves smoothies. I mean, they're yummy. You can create just about any type of smoothie you want, and particularly I'm on the more healthier side, but you can create any type of smoothie you want that will have some actual benefit to your body. But she she said from her researchers that she would have a smoothie, but or they would have a smoothie, but it still wasn't, they still weren't one to eat. So now I know a lot of you out there listening can relate to this, that you've tried these smoothie diets or these juice cleansers or things of that nature, and they're great for a short time or great for that moment, but you still want to eat. You're still craving stuff. So now I'm going to ask Jeannie, and she also mentioned that, something about creating habits when it comes to what we eat or creating eating habits. So Jeannie, I want you to expand right now on why it's important for us to create these eating habits once we have deciphered that we really do need to make a change when it comes to what we intake.
Well, fair enough. I appreciate what you're saying, but listen, here's the long and the short of that answer. Because the alternative is unacceptable. Okay, let me tell you what I mean. Without a plan, we react by instinct. Okay, the main thing that distinguishes humans from the other animals on the planet is our ability to make choices. All other animals on this planet react instinctively. And that's fine for them because, you know, those animals, at least the wild ones, live in a natural environment where all the food around them is still safe to eat in copious amounts for as long as they desire to eat it, right?
Right, right.
Humans, yeah, but not us. Humans, on the other hand, we're so intelligent. We live in a man-made world that's full of man-made foodstuffs, chock full of chemicals and other ingredients that cumulatively pose a danger to our long-term health. Therefore, if we don't consciously choose to create healthier eating habits, we will most certainly default to a more base instinct of high fat, sugar, salt, and flours with an abundance of empty calories. So listen, because the world we live in today is so full of overprocessed, chemically laden foods that you know it, they look beautiful, they smell good, they're hot, ready, cheap, and available now. When we are cold, tired, and hungry, or when we're hot, pushed for time, and exhausted, we will certainly fall prey to the drive-thru. So it's crucial to create the eating habits that we need to protect our long-term health now.
I love it. I love what you're saying. I'm so, like, in tune with this. But Jeannie is sharing, you guys, some just really simplex wisdom. It seems so simplex that you're probably thinking, how could that really work, or how could changing our eating really affect our overall health and well-being? But I'm here to share with you this little bit of information. Your digestive system and what you take in is the foundation. It's the building block of everything that goes on in your body. So if you take in good food and you take in things that actually, like she referred to, like the animals, take in not an overabundance or excess, but take in what's needed for your body to operate effectively and efficiently, and that can be processed in your digestive system so that it's actually processed to the ultimate effectiveness, then you will begin to see changes within your body. The other thing I want to share with you is these changes are not going to happen overnight because it didn't take you overnight to get this way. This is a process that happens within you due to an imbalance, and most likely it's due to an imbalance of what you've taken in. She mentioned processed foods and the chemicals and the way the food is all changed. And anybody going to a fast food restaurant today, I'm praying for you because you really don't know what you're getting when you order that food. Okay, you're just really, like you said, trying to satisfy an urge, a need, a feeling at that moment in time. So she's sharing, like, this information, and it's so valuable, and I just really, really, really want to emphasize that your digestive system and what we take in is the building foundation of everything. And if you can learn to take in what's right for you that actually builds and sustains you versus breaks you down and opens up gateways for illness and disease, your life will be so, so much better. So now, Jeannie, creating these eating habits is essential, as you shared with us, to our health and well-being. No doubt about that. What are the first steps towards your faithful palate?
So it's really important that we understand what our palate is, okay? So you and I, all humans, we have a palate, and it starts at our lips, and it goes about halfway down our esophagus. That's your palate. It's not just the taste buds on your tongue. It's your whole mouth and halfway down your esophagus. That's your palate. Like everything else in our bodies, you know, like your liver, your heart, your arms, your legs, it all has a purpose for our survival. So what purpose does our palate serve? Well, originally, our palate was designed to help us taste the things that are nutritious and taste the difference in the things that are toxic to our bodies. Now, in the natural world, it's easy to do that. But in today's modern world, everything that's prepackaged, pre-provided, pre-cooked, pre-everything else, it all tastes delicious. There's no question. And there are chemicals that have come in between our brain and our palate that makes it hard for us to distinguish what's good for us now and what's not good for us now. So if we want to have a palate that is faithful to our bodies, then it needs to become a more natural palate. And in order to do that, then one of the things we have to do is eat whole raw natural fruits and vegetables in copious amounts. The problem is we don't necessarily have the culinary skills to do that anymore. But the first thing to do, when you asked me what the first steps were, so the first steps are basically A, be kind to yourself, all right? That's really important. Don't expect perfection. I can't tell you how many clients I work with that say, oh, Jeannie, you know, I fell off the wagon over the weekend. I feel so bad. And they apologize to me.
Right.
Okay? It's like, oh, sweetie, it's all good. Just start where you are today and focus on what to eat for now. And don't worry yet about what not to eat. I'm going to tell you something, Rochelle, just between us girls. If we start... if we start worrying about, well, I got to stop this and I got to stop that and I got to quit this over here, we're going to be left with nothing.
Right.
And we don't know how to respond, which is going to kick us into instinctive reaction. And what do we do when we're operating on instincts? We grab what's closest. We go to the drive-thru. We do the wrong thing. So what we need to do is be kind, focus on what we want to add to our diet, like more raw fruits and vegetables. Just start eating those. Don't worry about the mistakes you make for now. Those will fall off. Let's just get the good things going first. And when we're shopping, splurge on the good stuff, all right? Forget about the stuff you don't like. You don't like mushrooms, forget those. You don't like celery, forget it for now. Focus on what you do like. Maybe you just like a lot of apples and oranges. Maybe all you like is sweet fruits. Maybe you don't like sweet fruits. Maybe you like vegetables. Start with what you like and splurge with that for now. Okay.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. At this point in time, I'm going to tell the listeners that we're going to be back shortly. But right now, if you're interested in learning more about Jeannie and picking up the Faithful Palette, let me give you the website. It's www.faithful, and it's spelled F-A-I-T like Thomas, H-F-U-L, palette, P like Paul, A-L-A-T-E.com. Check it out and come back and join us because we've got more that Jeannie is going to share with us, and I don't want you to miss out. It's so very, very important for you to listen to this information because, for one, you can't get it anywhere else like this except from Blissful Living, but also because Jeannie is going to share some more words of wisdom that I know is going to help a ton of you out there, particularly with regards to the challenge we're facing with what's going on in the world. This is some information that you will want to know and want to be able to utilize as we move forward, as I like to say, down our path to bliss. So stay tuned, tune back into us, and we can't wait to share more of Jeannie with you.
Thank you for joining Rochelle Marie Lawson on Blissful Living. To contact Rochelle Marie and to find out more about Blissful Living, click on the Blissful Living for You link right here on the Blissful Living Network. Catch all the Blissful Living episodes on demand and available for download 24/7 on blissfullivingforyou.com. Until next week, may your life be filled with peace, wellness, abundance, and prosperity.